This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
And with our movie review from Insights Magazine, Adrian Drayton, good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, look, just great. It's good. It's a good time of year. Everything's happening. It's all busy. There's lots being released at the movies, too.
Yeah, there's a heap of movies in the lead up to Christmas this year, which is quite unusual. There's normally only two or three big ones, but yes, I'm going to be very busy over the next few weeks. But anyway, on to the first couple of reviews, which are DVDs. I reckon the best animated film this year. It tops my list of the best animated film this year, and it's probably the best trilogy of the decade, in my opinion. Would be the Toy Story trilogy. Toy Story 3 coming out today on DVD and Blu-ray.
Well, best trilogy of the decade. That means you're putting it above Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Yes. Whoa.
Particularly because of the all-round entertainment and the fact that it has a whole lot of stuff about community and connection and loyalty and all that sort of stuff. Perfect family entertainment. Everybody can enjoy it. Not so with Lord of the Rings films. There's a bit of a, I suppose, age cap on those.
Oh, I see. Yes.
So, yeah, I think all round entertainment, it was really the best trilogy for me.
Okay.
And Woody and Buzz have really become a bit of a pop culture touchstone, for want of a better phrase. I reckon there's probably not a kid of around between 8 and 11 who hasn't either been exposed to Buzz and Woody or doesn't have the toy in their toy box.
Mm.
And they are just fantastic characters. They've been beloved characters in our household since the first one came out. And poor old, the toys are kind of given a short shift in number 3 in that they're boxed up for the attic because Andy's going off to college. But in a mix-up, they're accidentally sent to Sunnyside Daycare Centre. And at first they think this is a great place to spend their retirement until they discover they're going to the toddler room to be played with all the toddlers and stuck in paint and, you know, used to draw things with paint and all that sort of stuff. And are ruled under the iron fist of Lotso Huggenbear and his offside a big baby. So, yeah, lots of stuff. I mean, normally the films have been about rescue missions. This one's actually about an escape mission. It actually reminded me of those sort of prison escape films, prison break stories. And again, for me, the themes of loyalty and community and friendship make this fantastic film worthy of your, I think, hard-earned dollars on DVD and Blu-ray. Of course, there's a huge amount of extras and games and things on across both formats. And particularly my favourite is all the Pixar films is filmed with a short film, as you know, and the one with Toy Story 3 called Night and Day is a particular favourite of mine. It's really great.
So, is that The Clouds?
Yes.
Yes, I like that one too.
So it's worth checking out. So that's rated G, and I guess we'll rate that at the end.
All right, sure, why not? To Lost.
Also, I want to quickly mention that Lost, the final season, has been on DVD for a few weeks now. This is one of those series that I came in and out of. I was very into in the first few seasons, but then kind of lost the plot a bit in seasons 4 and 5, and I think they did as well. But like The X-Files and Star Trek before it, Lost is one of those unique kind of TV shows that, in effect, bolstered whole online communities. You can actually go to Lostpedia, which is a Wikipedia-type website, and, they kind of huddle together and fathom the various mysteries from season to season. I have to say, with some of the seasons of Lost, I've actually found it more interesting to watch it on DVD in that you can, rather from week to week losing interest and not really remembering what the mysteries are, being able to dive in a few episodes at a time is actually a little bit more helpful. And what did reignite my interest in the final season was Pastor Chris Say's excellent book, The Gospel According to Lost, which kind of maps each character's story arc and lays some really tantalising groundwork for the final season and also talks about a lot of the spiritual connections. The redemption and reconciliation themes and some of the connections the characters have. So, yeah, Locke and Jack's faith versus science debate aside, there's a whole lot of elaborate connections in this new season. Some biblical parallels to the story of Jacob and Esau, which I find interesting, that go do the backstory of the island. And, ultimately they all sort of connect up. There's also sideways storylines which posit that the whole character, all the characters in Lost never actually met, but in fact become connected in life. So the TV show is saying that however we play it, we ultimately, as people, we're connected to one another on this earth. So really interesting stuff. There's lots of extras across the discs, and even though the finale was a bit disappointing for me, it does remain a kind of landmark series that's worth checking out.
Does it let anything else out in the DVD series? Because they did kind of promise that they'd let some more secrets come out.
They did. They do another episode with Hurley and Ben about what happens after they all leave. This is all contained, as you can... I don't want to reveal the ending, but I don't know, if you watch the finale, they all go somewhere together. So this extra episode actually probably predates the final episode in a way. So, yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but there's a heap of extra features. There's also a whole, about an hour and a half documentary, which goes through all the connections and mysteries. And so if you haven't ever watched the show, it's actually a good place to start.
Okay.
And I think this will probably be coming out in a box set sometime in a few months as well, so worth checking out.
Okay.
Rated M, probably not recommended for kids under 12, but, yeah, really good stuff.
Let's jump back to Toy Story. How many world-renowned trilogies do you give it out of 10?
Oh, 9.5.
Wow.
9.5 from me.
Okay.
And Lost?
And Lost gets 8.
All right, that's still very good.
Not bad.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's my take on those releases.
Harry Potter, number 7, part 1. Adrian.
Yes, hi. It's Greetings. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, part 1, no less.
Okay.
Now, I do understand that I want to sort of do a bit of a pre-review of this by saying I do understand I am one of those parents who has problems, who has had problems with Harry Potter. And in my opinion, like all entertainment, Harry Potter for me is the series, because we did acquiesce and we allowed our oldest son to read the books. But I will precede that by saying that I read the books before him to keep in touch with what he was reading. And so the Harry Potter series to me has always been about discernment and discussion. And something that made me very proud of my oldest son was a couple of years ago when he was reading through the books, he got halfway through 6 and he said, "You know what, Dad? This is getting a bit dark for me. I'm going to put it down and I'll probably read it in a few years." And you know what? You can teach discernment to kids, and that's the fantastic thing about, I suppose, letting them read the stuff that's popular and then discuss it with them, and they actually can learn the discernment process. So having said that, I have to say up front that I've actually not read the 7th Harry Potter book, so I don't know how close the film is to the book. Simply because I stopped reading them with my older son. But also, I want to qualify the fact that if I know people have problems with the thematic elements in Harry Potter, but we have to remember that both the Narnia and the Lord of the Rings films use wizardry and magic as part of their thematic elements, even though they're metaphors. And I do believe that the Harry Potter series does have a lot of metaphorical content, particularly in regards to Harry Potter's character, who is nothing if not self-sacrificial and very loyal to his friends. So, and also for me, over the years I've consulted a lot of people I respect, Christian people I respect, on the issue of Harry Potter, and many have come out and said that, you know what, it is ultimately about good versus evil, and it doesn't glorify evil, and good always triumphs. So that is my qualification of Harry Potter.
Sure, great.
Thank you for doing that.
I think, having said that, number 7 is the darkest outing yet, and it is because the kids are approaching 18. So the issues in the book and obviously the film are going to be adult ones. So you have to remember this when you take the kids, when you're thinking of taking people to see it. I wouldn't recommend it for anyone under 15. And basically the story revolves around Harry, Ron and Hermione on the run on a quest to find and destroy the Horcruxes that contain Voldemort's power. But they're also being pursued by Voldemort's army that's amassed and taken over the Ministry of Magic. And as I mentioned before, I think the Harry Potter films for me have always been about good versus evil and loyalty and self-sacrifice. And this is as a bridging film, it had the potential to be a bit boring, I think, because there's a lot of, they actually go out into the wilderness and spend time in tents trying to find the Horcruxes and all those sorts of things. And I think the chemistry of the leads, they've got to a point now where they've been doing this for a decade and their acting skills are excellent. And in those sort of those more boring spots, there's a bit of lightness of touch and there's a bit of self-referential humour and things like that that gets the film through the over the line for me as a bridging film. So, yeah, I mean, as films, I've never found the Harry Potter series all as engaging as I think they should be. I think because they're not actually interpreted, they're just, because J.K. Rowling is actually involved in the production, they're quite literal interpretations of the books, whereas often with films made from books, you'll get someone's spin on that, and I find that a little bit more refreshing, as in the Lord of the Rings films. They, you know, when they said they were going to adapt the Lord of the Rings films to from books to films, I thought, oh my goodness, there is just chapter after chapter of exposition in Lord of the Rings, but they did such a fantastic job of that. So I think that, yeah, I haven't found Harry Potter as engaging as many other people who are fans of the books, but I think as a commentator and a Christian and somebody who needs to talk about culture, I think it's important that we talk about these things and use our discernment and discussion. So take the opportunity to discuss the themes afterwards with anybody you take. We'll mention that it's rated M, like the last few films. So, yes.
All right.
All right. And
my take on it.
Yeah.
Like it.
How many Harry Potter glasses would you give it out of 10?
I'm going to give it 8.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, it's not a bad film. It's not a fantastic film. It does. It is really bolstered by the chemistry of Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson, and Rupert Grint. In the end, they do a fantastic job. So, and, you know, really, it's a waiting sort of game until July next year when the epic finale hits. So, there you go.
All right. Good to chat to you, Adrian. Speak to you next week.
Yes, thanks.
Adrian Drayton from Insights Magazine, insights.uca.org.au, if you want to check out his reviews there.
Mm.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.